Hi, welcome to our last episode of Cosmopolitics for the quarter. Today we're going to be talking about probably what you expect. We're going to be talking about Spotify Wrapped. It's December 5th and it came out like very recently.
I'm pretty sure it came out recently.
I don't actually remember when it came out. It's usually December 1st, but I feel like they like surprised us and did it last day of November or something.
All I did was I saw a bunch of people post it on their stories and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then now that day's passed because I have no concept of time.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we both have our playlist popped up, right?
Yes, we do.
How do you feel about your Wrapped this year?
I am a little bit embarrassed, to be fully honest.
Fair.
Fun fact, I actually listen to music mostly from, I do half Spotify, but a little bit more for my own personal music library because of my very elaborate CD collection, which I scan onto my laptop and then send it onto my phone because I'm annoying.
Right.
Yeah, and so some of the things that are top songs are interesting.
Yeah, so I have pulled up the screenshot of like the summary thing with the top artists, the picture of the top artists, top songs, minutes listened, and top genre. And yeah, so the first thing I actually want to ask you about is let's both turn our phones to each other because I want to see your minutes.
Holy shit, Deb.
Wait, I can't.
Oh my gosh, Deb, what the fuck? Okay.
So for the record, Abby's minutes listened on Spotify for the year is 17,349, which is normal, which is average.
Also
which is
noted, I listen to music
yeah,
on other
exactly.
Ways.
So that's yeah. A good amount. Well, we looked at Deborah Kwan's. It says 105,691. And fun fact, it's a decrease from last year. Last year was 109 some.
Deb, are you going to sleep with like the music playing?
I do sleep with music, but I always turn on the like snooze thing, so it only lasts for like 30 minutes.
That's still adding like 30 minutes, like every night.
It's true, but even considering just 30 minutes every night, like,
when are you listening to music?
Like always. I'm one of those people that if I don't have something going on in my head, I think I might explode.
And that's why you're podcasting.
Yeah.
That's why we're both podcasting.
Yeah, except it always has to be music. I can't listen to podcasts, TBH, sorry.
No, that's fine. I mean, I can only listen to podcasts when I'm feeling ready for it. I have to be, like, mentally prepared because sometimes I feel sad. I don't know. As someone who creates podcasts, you know, take a break every now and then.
Yeah. I would ask re-Spotify Wrapped, what is, like, the most, like, good surprising thing to come out of your Wrapped? And what is, like, the most, like, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed.
Okay, I guess another, one thing is just, like, big wins, I guess. Mitski's top artist for, like, ever, since I think they started doing these, which is weird because I feel like I hadn't been listening to a lot of Mitski, but apparently I guess I was. I don't really know when, but I was. Love her. So I have a song that's my second most listened to song, but I only discovered it in October, and I only listened to it in the month of October. And it managed to get all the way to my second song.
Damn.
You know why? Because when I was experiencing some body stuff in October, I would listen to this song on repeat while walking around over and over and over again. And it's like a TikTok / YouTube animation meme type song.
Real. I kind of get that, though, because my number one song this year on Spotify Wrapped, it's Someone Else's Problem by Rule, which came out on October 27th this year.
Holy shit.
And I managed to make it to my number one because apparently I listened to it 197 times.
Let me go check to see how many times I listened to.
Yeah, it'll show you how many times you listen to your top song. But like, it's real. No, but also I'm so surprised because everyone knows I was making such an earnest effort to get either or the new Taylor Swift album and Carly Rae album into my Spotify Wrapped. And I did manage to get Carly into the like playlist, but nowhere really in the top five. And Midnights didn't show up at all.
That's really shocking.
But I think the listening chronically to like a lot of it, just not enough like frequency of each song, is why Taylor Swift became my number one artist this year. I've actually don't think I've ever had that happen to me.
Taylor Swift?
Yeah, number one.
That's pretty crazy. So my actual top listen song was Joanna by Suki Waterhouse. So who are your top artists?
My top artists, so I'll go in order. Taylor Swift, Hozier, Ty Verdez, Carly Rae Jepsen, and then Betty Who. So a lot of white people, except for one. A lot of white women, actually.
Hey, white woman, you love them? You love them, but we love them.
Yeah. I think it's also because, like, the white women I listen to is this, like, one specific subgenre of like pop that's like dance pop that's reminiscent of like the 2000s.
What would we say is the most?
Well, it doesn't even have to be most embarrassing. We can just like little embarrassing parts of our Spotify Wrapped.
Well, I guess I'll really quickly do my top artists. But,
oh, yeah. Tell me about that.
So Mitski, mm-hmm. Bjork of Montreal, Blake the Man 1000, and Yves Tumor.
Okay, cool. I think I know two or three of those artists.
That's cool. I don't think ever since having talked to a person, a local Blade fan, I've just kind of assumed that everyone knows all songs I listen to and that they're not as underground or cool as I thought they were. So, you know, I'm severely humbled by being in close contact with Blade fans.
Yeah, I didn't even know what Blade was until I guess like a couple weeks ago.
You really lived in the best timeline.
Because I think like if you put the music I listen to and the artists I know of under that whole like those algorithms and it's like how basic is your music, I'm probably really high up.
Well, here's the thing. I also can't imagine Blade ever being on the same playlist as Taylor Swift.
No, real.
There's some queer person out there. But like that person, I just don't see it that they would put in the same playlist at least.
Speaking of mixing Taylor though, I will say, I think I told you about this the other day, but like everyone's posting a Spotify Wrapped. I saw this one celebrity posting about it and it's like his top artist was Taylor Swift, but then everything else is just like normal classic rock and shit. I'm like, this man, I don't really know what was going on here.
Maybe it was a long play. It's like a Riz.
Yeah.
I'm like trying to, it's like major Riz moment. I'm trying to show all the girls that I'm so emotionally in depth by listening to Taylor Swift over and over. So I guess an embarrassing thing is I do have Buddy Holly on my top songs, which it would be increased if you also counted how often I listen to the Bulu album on CD, because that's actually one of my most listened to CDs, unironically.
Damn. Yeah, fun fact, I also didn't really know anything about Weezer until last school year. And I still think, I guess now, Buddy Holly's the only song I can name.
Yeah, I mean, it's catchy, though. Like, I feel like there's a lot of shame out there, you know, for, like, Weezer listeners. That's my Red Square Dasha impression. Like, Weezer listeners get a lot of bad rep in the media. These jokes aren't good except for me. I think they're funny, and then I know that they're going to be an audio hell to listen to and when I have to edit it again.
It's okay. It's okay. I think a lot of people have musical shame.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like 20% valid and 80% blown out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. I just think Weezer is kind of a funny concept, and I don't actually know anything related to Weezer. I don't even know. I just let people vibe, and I like to be clueless.
That's a good principle to have. I think that more people should care less about what they're listening to.
I also think that even if you're a person that cares about, like, material effects and everything, bro, you giving problematic Spotify artist number A a listen is giving them a profit of, like, maybe 0.01 cents. So I unmuted a lot of artists like over the last like couple of years because I was just thinking it's just like depriving yourself of something you don't really need to feel that much shame about, like, you know.
So I have an artist who I really enjoyed, but they were one half of the duo were canceled, but also I'm not gonna say canceled, I'm gonna say like rightfully, what's the word? Excommunicated, like, is not the word, but I come from a religious background, so that is the first word that came to my mind.
Okay.
We can use that one. Mm-hmm. For sexual abuse allegations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm even not giving them coverage on here just by not mentioning their name, but I actually, what I do is, since I'm using a lot of music platforms that don't rely on streaming, so just stuff that I already own, I actually pirated the album. First of all, it can't be found on Spotify or a lot of streaming sites because they took it down because, you know, the allegations. And then I listened to it privately, kind of like on my own time. And I think that trend prediction, the end of streaming platforms in the near 2 years, not the end, but I think that we hopefully, I don't know, I'm manifesting this. I want to see a change of re-owning music again.
That's actually really interesting. And I think I'm thinking about it more. It's like the gears are turning in my head. When I consider like media as a whole, different types of media, and this is what I'm saying, is like print, camera, like photography, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're going, a lot of different ones are going through cycles of people like realizing the importance of like physical media more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's, I can see that happening. It like sort of that resurgence and popularity with like music.
Exactly.
I think that'd be cool to see. That'd be really interesting to see, because I mean, I think when things are taken down for better or worse, it really shows you the importance of physical media as a way of like archiving and for like keeping the history alive, you know.
100%. That's like a huge reason people should consider doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I share with my boyfriend, I share this site, this like website or something, I don't know how he uses it. It's called Plex.
Mm-hmm.
But basically Plex uses, so he has his music uploaded onto here, and then I also uploaded my personal like owned music collection onto here, so now we have one that we can both share too. And it's really nice because we both are contributing pretty niche, like some niche stuff where it's like, and this isn't in like a flex way, it's that I had to like find this album, like, because it was like, it's not anywhere you can find it. For example, there's something by Charlene Yee, Steven Universe. She was the voice actor for Ruby. She also did a lot of other acting. They go by they, them now.
Okay.
But anyways, they have the song that I really love that's only on YouTube. And I'm like, I'm not about to strip the YouTube audio for this. I'm going to find the album. And I did. And it's really nice. And I think that the only thing that is setting us back is the want for convenience. But what little do people know is that the amount of work that it takes is only like a little bit. And then you can just easily access the convenience. And then you can have the knowledge of knowing, like, this is mine. I have it here. And I don't have to pay like $6 a month to get it.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how the trends move, because we've seen a lot of, it's this whole, like, not even just considering like art, it's just this whole resurgence of like Y2Kism and like going back and everything, even with like, you know, the increased popularity in like film, for instance. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I feel like we're starting to see that in a lot of different ways. And, you know, maybe it'll hit music like more popularly and more mainstream.
To be honest, I think, so this is cosmopolitics. Like, let me actually get into some cosmopolitics here. Like, I truly believe that we are entering an era evocative of post-2001, 9/11, Bush America. I truly think that we are entering a climate that is similarly charged, and instead of an act of terrorism, I'm saying some big statements here, oh boy, we can kind of view the way in which COVID was handled and how that kind of wrecked America as a whole, as that mutual tragedy that everyone is carrying. And I think that this can be seen in the rise of both nationalism, as in scary nationalism, but also the revival of Americana aesthetics, i.e. Lana Del Rey-esque sleaze. I'm talking about, we are no longer in the Mick Bling era of fashion, but we are going to be entering a more denim is in kind of vibe. And technology, we're starting to see the end of film cameras. People are going back to those point and click digitals, which I'd like to tell everyone, I've been on that shit since like last year. I was saying, hey everyone, I know that digital cameras are going to go big because everyone's going to get sick of paying for film. And also just because nothing ever lasts in the eyes of the world. So yeah, own your CDs, because watch out, terrorists.
Real. I think that's the message. No, but that is very true, because I like to joke a lot with people about how if we were living in like a sci-fi TV show right now, or like a sci-fi movie, and we had time travel at our disposal, 9/11 would be one of those events they wouldn't let us tamper with, because 9/11 is just so fucking humongous in history and in the memory of anyone who is not anyone older than Generation Z. I was alive though. And I think
I wasn't. Well, I guess I was, depending on what your idea of life is.
Real. Hashtag pro-life. And I think COVID-19 is, the more I think about it, it's like, I think over the last 2 years, we've been saying like, the world is different, the world is changing, we're living in a different world. And we've been saying all these things without actually realizing what it means. And when you consider the way the world is today, yeah, And the way we see the cultural impact and the cultural, like, reaction that we're seeing, yeah, it's very similar. And I think the more we look back, even if you just, like, over the next year, if we just look back over the just the previous collection of, like, maybe 2 months or something, you can kind of see the way things are rapidly changing. And it is a very similarly charged time, culturally and politically.
Yeah, because I don't think there's been any other kind of major event in American history, 2000 up, where we can assume that it affected people as strongly as this. Of course, we could be like, how about the housing crisis? But it's like, honestly, aren't we in a recession? People have been saying it, right?
My econ professor's like, you're gonna be in a recession soon. But then my, like, finance professor last year was like, we're in a recession. And, like, I don't even fucking know.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
you know, yeah.
While we can see a cultural impact from that, I think that just because this has been so longstanding as an issue, that we are seeing kind of bigger cultural developments than we have in the past for even things which were similar to this.
I mean, because the pandemic is one of those things that, like, genuinely affected everyone. Mm-hmm. Obviously, some people are able to worm out of it, like in, like, housing crises. But I think COVID is very different from these, like, I'm not going to call them minuscule, like, because I don't think they're minuscule, but all these other important things that are happening, like, if you consider, like, the recession in 2008, it's, like, it's different, like, when you consider just, like, how much it affected people in almost a unifying way for better and worse, mm-hmm. you know? It's different, and we're seeing it, and we're going to keep seeing it, and I think culturally we're going to see a lot.
We should be, so just everyone, like, stay, like, watch trends, like, watch what's, like, trending, see what people are into, because those are truly reflections about what we are kind of going through. And it's interesting to see history repeat itself.
It's true, because we're seeing that right now, because, like, we are both 21 years old.
Yeah, we are.
Recently, we're both 21.
Whoop, whoop.
Woo! but, like, so we've only been alive for about 2 decades, but... Mm-hmm. We're seeing history cycle already, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess we're actually seeing it.
Yeah.
So I think that's just really interesting to, like, contemplate, even just in itself.
Yeah, it's super interesting. And I think that creatively, especially, like, let's think of a lot of editorial work that you see. We're kind of seeing a resurgence of the more gritty 2000 looks. Not, like, necessarily, you know, the smooth, like, pink one. The idea of what people think is Y2K is not Y2K, because that's an evolution of whatever we do now. Like it's the 2022 version of Y2K, but, like, we're seeing a lot more of those, like, raw images, like, editing that's not sneaky, but it's still sneaky, because no matter what, they're going to try to make you insecure about your body and stuff, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, crazy. I feel like this is the first time we've actually talked about something very pivotal and relevant to the topic of the podcast.
Yeah, I don't think we've actually really gotten deep ever since I did the Don't Look Up episode. But that spring quarter, and that wasn't even that deep.
We can have one deep episode per quarter, and we did it.
We did it.
We did it, everyone. Well, thank you all for listening.
Enjoy your winter break.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to get my tonsils out. So if I sound different next time you see me, it was the tonsils. Goodbye.
Bye.